Well, welcome into our second half of Sports Talk this Monday, July 28th, and the first day of pads at the Saints training camp facility. Good to see the offense defense on the field. And man, oh man, I will say to Cajun Cannon, that kicker Blake Groupie continues to cement his place as the place kicker for the black and gold. Sorry, Charlie Smith.
Well, but Cullen's still doing his job. He is. Just make the kick. Coming up big time. The consistency there.
Right.
But you know, when it's like almost the deep snapper. But I'd say no one never talks about the deep snapper until you have a bad snap.
True.
And then, you know how you take it for granted because you are a pro? I'd say whether you're punting or you're a kicker. Just, you know, I'm telling you, this is how the players think about the special, like the punters or the kickers. Like, just do your damn job and, like, you know, just make the kick. You know, they'll high-five you and all that, and you don't give them the business until they miss. Come on, dude, you got to make that. Or if you're a punter and you shank it. What? Come on, now it's like a chip, you know, and you're chipping on the golf course. You got to be inside, not inside the 20, inside the 10. Where are the hang time, all that. You know, how it's so perfected. I think what I've noticed since the 80s, 90s, how demanding and how you – I'm not saying you got to be perfect, but you got to be way more efficient or prolific than even the great Dane Martin Anderson. I want to say he was like 84%. You better be at least 84%, if not above. You know, what it takes right now. And if you're inside the 50-yard line, then the kicker cost us the game. He missed a 48-yarder.
Right.
You got to make it.
I was talking about this to Jeff either on Friday's show or on our podcast, the fact that I feel like 40 and in, is that like a gimme now? Well, you better make that?
Well, the same thing now, you know, it's not an automatic the extra point. But don't the fans think the extra point is automatic?
Yeah.
What, we missed the extra point? No, they expect you to make that 100%, but it's not always the case. That's one rule. I'm glad they moved the extra point back. Because before that, it was like, okay, let me go to the bathroom or get a beer, go to the refrigerator or whatever, because they can make it. Now, it makes it more adventurous.
Now, like you would say, not so fast.
And then if you miss a couple extra points, we got to get rid of the kicker. You know, we went from the penthouse to the outhouse, I think on and off the field, the kicker with the Ravens.
Oh, yeah.
Justin Tucker.
Right.
Right? Justin Tucker. He was the reason why we got our kicker, who's now with the Broncos.
That's funny you mentioned that. I was still doing the sideline then, and I had turned my back thinking, oh, man, we're going to overtime. We're going to end up taking a later flight, and it's going to take forever to get home. And all of a sudden, I'm walking back to the Saints bench area.
He missed the extra point.
I see Cam Jordan jumping up and cheering. I'm like, what happened? Well, yeah, he missed it. I totally had my back to the play.
Yeah, well, Justin Tucker, he had made like 200-some extra points in a row, and he ended up missing it. Now, I can't think of his name. Now, who's with the Broncos that was with us? Will Lutz. Will Lutz came here because of Justin Tucker.
Correct, yeah.
And then, you know, coaches talk. John Harbaugh said, ah, this guy can kick. And then Sean Payton brought him on board.
Sean still trusts him.
Yes, he's in with the Broncos. So, no, what have you done for me? That's the way it is in the kicking game. And so right now the Saints cannot afford to have a weak link. No, you know how we've been like top five special teams, and I think that will be the case with Coach Galliano? That has to continue. You know how you got three phases, and you got to win for sure maybe two out of the three. Well, special teams, and I love Coach Rizzi, but it's like Coach Rizzi 2.0. You know, who's your mentor? I don't know if Coach Galliano would admit that, but we're going to be doing the same thing. Now, there's no excuse, but what is the extent of JT Gray's injury? Because we heard that
good
today.
Point. I don't know if you brought that all up in the first.
No,
few
we
segments.
Did not bring it up. JT
Our first
Gray, what is he dealing
injury
with?
Of camp.
Yeah, what is he dealing with?
A lower leg injury. That's all his coach would describe it as.
Well, as much as I love Chris Banjo, remember Chris Banjo, how also a special teams player he was? I want to say he's from SMU. How all of a sudden we let him go to the Cardinals, and he did outstanding with the Cardinals. I think he's coaching now in the
You're
NFL.
Right, yeah.
And but I look at JT Gray. No, he's like the amongst the best, and not all pro. He's in the conversation, and you know now he's trying to get more on the field defensively. You get paid more money, the more you could do whatever. And then he's hurt, but I don't expect our special teams to go down. So right now, we want our punting game, our kicking game, our coverages, and all that to be amongst the best, because that's another area that gives us a chance to win if we could stay at the top. Like we've been the past few years. Even though it's been four straight years we ain't going to the playoffs.
Boo.
It ain't been because of the special teams.
Right.
We've been playing winning football on the special teams to go to the postseason. For instance, like Rashid Shaheed. Now, that'll be interesting. Can we get that big punt return? I'd say more punt return than kick return for a touchdown, like Rashid Shaheed. But if he's asked to play more offense on receiver, who is going to be that return guy? Does Pettis maybe have an opportunity?
Right.
Who's going to be there? So that's another thing. Look at the Chargers game special teams in the preseason. Who's back there? Who can you want to make the team?
Yeah, because I feel like you want to save Shaheed for the offense. You don't want to use him as much on special teams.
Yes, but then now we end up losing the game. Remember against the Packers, we're up 17-3 in the fourth quarter. Jordan Love's first big comeback. How the hell we lost that game? Remember, didn't Rashid have a punt return for a touchdown there?
Correct.
So, okay, if you're going to play more receiver and you want to limit his snaps on special teams, well, somebody got to still be close to that level, all-pro level in the return game. So that'd be interesting to see who they put back there. Come Chargers, Jaguars, and, you know, all preseason games. Who's going to be the guy back there? And I say this, the way the rules have changed. Charlie, look this up, too. It could be, excuse me, I know you see a number of punt returns for a touchdown, but how many actual kickoff returns last year was for a touchdown? And the reason why I bring that up, because who's the guy that's been playing 13 years, just got cut by the Steelers?
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Patterson. He was like the, what's his name, Hester, the Hall of Famer.
Sure, Devin Hester.
Devin Hester. You remember punt kick return? Oh, he's like Magic, Dion and all that. They just, Cordarrelle Patterson run back a bunch of kickoffs. Well, he just got cut today on his day off. You know what, the Steelers.
Oh, Charlie has his finger up. He has numbers for you.
Yeah.
Seven, this past year, guys, seven kickoff returns for touchdowns. It was an increase from four the year prior in 2023.
And they're moving it back a little bit, so it might even be more then. So the return game, not only who could be like a significant kick returner or punt returner, to get that. That's it. To me, I don't know, this may be old school thinking. If you return a punt or a kickoff in a game, you should never lose. If you're doing your job, offense and defense, and you get a lanyard, that's like, I count that as seven free points. Seven, you don't look at the point spread. You look at the points.
I was
going
to say, how about also a defensive touchdown?
Oh, yeah, pick six. That all goes together.
Okay.
Pick six, scoop and score, punt return, kick return. You get that? Because when you
any kind of points not generated by your offense.
Yeah, because you look at most of the point spreads. I'm not talking about the extremes. Oh, they're like a 9-point underdog.
Right.
But you know when it's like three or four, could go either
that
way.
Swing, yeah.
And you get like, because I count the extra point, you get 7 points. Man, you shouldn't lose that game. Because you're getting that help from your special teams. Come on, offense and defense. You should be able to win those. That's an old school Coach Mara thing. You know, when you get that, and we had Mel Gray. Mel Gray from was unbelievable. Old USFLer, LA Express, played with the Saints, Detroit Lions. That was interesting about Mel Gray. Mel Gray played at Purdue, what was like unbelievable. But I don't know how he passed at school in Purdue. I mean, I think he knew five plays the whole time he was here. I'm telling you, I had to call. I called the play and then tell him what to do, and then we put him in there. I don't know. And I said, well, they don't go to school at Purdue. That's where Drew Brees went. I think that's a hard school. But Mel Gray was that physically talented with the ball in his hands as a returner and did it at the highest level, not only with the Saints, but with the Lions as a punt and kick returner. Charlie, just look at it right quick.
He's got some more numbers for us here, Cannon.
Yeah, Bleacher Report has a good kind of stat here about the 2024 kickoff return rate, like how many kicks were actually returned. You know, that was part of the incentive to kind of move the kickoff and kind of change the rules a little bit was to increase the viewability of the play for people to kind of stay engaged with kickoff return.
Exactly.
And via the just regular season numbers, Bleacher Report is a great stat that the kickoff return rate in 2024 was 32.8%, which was a jump from 21.8%, an 11% jump from 2023 to 2024 with the new kickoff return rules.
Well, and you think it might even, maybe not that drastic, but it might even jump again, Charlie.
Yeah, I mean, it's
where the kick is. What, 5 yards?
They're trying to incentivize is that they want people to still
be engaged with the play.
It's just not, you know, a free play where they just touch back and it's over with.
Because you want to keep the audience, the fans' attention.
Yeah.
Not surfing.
Yeah. And I'm holding it. God, I got to go to the bathroom so bad, but I got to watch this kick return. They got an unbelievable kick returner. But, Charlie, look up also how great the significant, like Rashid Shaheen, or for the old school Houdan Nation members, Mel Gray, and what he had in his career. I'm telling you, as a punt and kick returner with the Saints and the Lions, no, Mel Gray was outstanding. And get his hands on the ball. And he was a little guy, but fast and quick. But you can't miss those kind of guys. That's why I say you don't have to be a rocket scientist, because if you have that kind of skill set, you can make people miss.
Right.
Get his hands on the ball. You know, you'd run like
and let him do his thing.
Yeah, like a jet sweep or something. Oh, just get him the ball and just give him one or two blocks and he hits and gets it. And then, you know, then he's gone. The same thing, that's why I think the yards after the catch at Rashid Shaheed, we didn't take advantage of that more. Come on, he's a Pro Football Hall of Fame returner. So you know he can make people miss, and you make one guy miss, and they don't have the right angle, you're taking it to the house. I'm not just talking about no deep ball. I'm talking about even like a quick slant, or you're dragging across the field, you know, and you hit him, and then he turns it up. And all of a sudden, that looked like a simple play. And then the look of the yak he got. So I think I would think more than Chris Olave, or any of the receiving, or even Brandon Cooks, Rashid Shaheed, and the yards after the catch, there's no reason why he shouldn't be amongst the best in the NFL.
He's been one of the gold stars so far of training camp, I feel as well, Rashid Shaheed.
Yes, yeah, the only negative play, that you know, he caught that long ball, Spencer Rattler, and then even though Hayner had underthrew him, I got
you kept talking about he knows he should have made that catch.
He was ticked off. He was mad at himself because he tracked that ball, and he should have caught that over the defensive back, even though he made the quarterback look good because it wasn't a good pass. But he could have went up and made that play, and then that's how you stand on our receiver like, whoa, did you see that play that Rashid made right there? That was awesome. That's what contested catches. That's what we got to do. I don't care who it is, Tipton, whoever comes in and part of that mix. We got to make more. It's like a 50-50 ball. Not necessarily the quarterback got to always make great throws. No, 50-50 ball. How about that's your ball? You come down with it and don't let the defense make a play.
Bobby's Notebook brought to you by Rouse's Market, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. More notes coming back after the next segment. We'll check out with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak and his post on WWL.com, his latest from the first padded practice of Saints training camp, right here on WWL Saints Radio after the break. Who dat? Back here on Sports Talk, first day of padded practices at Saints training camp, helping us break it down right now. Cajun Cannon, Saints sideline reporter and WWL's digital content producer, Jeff Nowak. How you doing, Jeff? How was your first day out there? It seemed a pretty, at least mild one, but me and the Cannon were hanging out in the shaded area with some fans and misters blowing on us.
Yeah, we were the VIPs.
Yeah, you guys had the VIP treatment. I was out in the sun, taking in the rays. Yeah, I'm feeling good, though. How about you guys?
Well, doing great, Jeff. And I know you're a man of a lot of wisdom and how you look at practice and everything. And tell me that I'm not way out of line. Again, I say, wait a minute, this is way too early. What are you talking about? They had one practice. But if I look at my crystal ball and how coaches think, because I've been around a lot of coaches who played the game, which the Saints have a lot of, like June Jones and all that, was with Steve Borkowski. This is old school. But I could see how you want a player to be confident. Like Derek Carr's brother, David Carr. Remember with the Houston Texans? He was shattered. He was like ruined his confidence. There's so much about confidence. I brought this up. I said, maybe I should wait. But I said, no, I'm saying this because this is what I believe right now. And what I witness, I could see that the Saints taking the approach, and now it's a poor man, Drake May, with the Patriots, but I could see the Saints maybe treating Tyler Shuck. Now, if he goes out and ball in the preseason, then you put him in there, but almost take it baby steps. And what I mean by that, Drake May, isn't everyone so fired up about him playing for the Patriots right now and how he ended the season? And with Vrabel and all, what are they
going
to do?
They got hope going into the year.
Yes, they got hope. He didn't start till like week six against the Texans. So I could see Spencer Rattler being the sacrificial, I don't know if that's the right word, lamb, where some people might look at it, well, they didn't really give Spencer a chance because the team didn't have the continuity in. But Spencer has to look at it. It's an opportunity. I get to be a starter again. That to me right now, Spencer Rattler would start against the Cardinals. Let's say, okay, we play in this Sunday. Okay, Rattler, you're starting the game. You're going to be the quarterback. And now if we're winning, you stay the quarterback sure. and all that. But what they have invested in Tyler Shuck, I think is kind of poor man's Derek May.
Drake May.
Do you think I'm out of line on that, Jeff? I think I know how teams kind of do this and how they want Tyler Shuck to succeed. They want Spencer Rattler to succeed, but Tyler Shuck is their guy. Spencer Rattler, they inherited. And Spencer Rattler, oh, poor Spencer Rattler. Looked like everybody's hurt. He had no supporting cast. The team's not coming together. Well, hey, you know what? You're in the NFL. Just win. Just win, and then it takes care. It's all about opportunities.
Shoot, Jake Haener only got a half.
A half? Yeah, he didn't even have a whole game. He had a half. Okay, you're out of there. And then, look, Jake Haener, how he's handling himself in practice. Listen, in the NFL, quarterbacks are great living, but you got to last. And how you handle yourself in the meeting rooms and on the practice field and games and all that. But right now, I don't know. We got to let the competition play out. But I'd be somewhat surprised if Tyler Shuck could turn that corner. Now, you still got, what, 3 weeks? I wouldn't even say a month. I'd say about 2.5, 3 weeks to convince the coaches. But I think right now what I've – Spencer Rattler just seems more poised. I don't like it. What I brought up to Kellen Moore is that Tyler Shuck is scrambling too much on 7-on-7. And there's no pass rush.
Well, we'll see, Bobby.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. So, Jake, I know, Jeff, I know that was long-winded, but just break that down.
No. I don't know what you're talking about, Bobby. No. So I'm right there with you. And you did ask Kellen about it today, and he did say, hey, we do emphasize the scramble drills. It's part of the game. And I understand what he's saying there, but at the same time, a scramble in 7-on-7 should be rare. It should not be something that happens once a practice.
Back-to-back plays.
Yeah, and in this instance, it happened on back-to-back plays, and they looked almost identical. And, like, I appreciate, hey, you don't want to throw an interception, you don't want to force something, but at the same time, practice should be where you test your limits and figure out what you can get away with, what you can't get away with. And I just don't think you gain much from pulling the ball down and scrambling. I really don't. And I think that's one of my issues with Tyler. And I brought this up basically all throughout camp to this point, is I think he's a little too risk averse for his own good right now.
Right.
Sure feels it, right.
All that said, you know, going in, I kind of had Rattler as kind of my penciled in guy for that exact reason, because I think people get caught up in, oh, the investment, they drafted him, whatever. And they kind of lose sight of the fact that this is not a one-year play. This is a,
right.
Hey, is he ready to start or is he not ready to start? It's not he's going to be a Hall of Famer or cut by the end of training camp. It's, is he ready to go in there week one and have a chance for success, or does he need more time in the oven? And to this point in camp, and we're 5 days into camp, to this point in camp, I would say that if we had to play a game tomorrow, he's not ready to play in that game. And obviously the age is a factor and you feel like, oh, he's 25, he should be ready. It's really not going to factor in. Like, you're either you're ready or you're not. And at this point, I would have to say Spencer is the guy that I would put in there, just because I feel like he has a better chance for success. And I don't want, like, the one thing I don't want to do is put Tyler Shuck in week one and then have to bench him in week six because it's gone so badly. We put him in before he's ready. He's
right.
Losing all of his confidence. Like, that's what I want to avoid. If that goes the other way and you end up having to bench Spencer because you start him week one and things don't go well, then you at least have done right by Tyler and not put him in a bad situation. Just like the Patriots did with Drake May. I agree with you completely.
Without a doubt.
Brissett. So, no, I'm right there with you. And there's a lot of time left. Like, I think we're overreacting a little bit considering we had the first padded practice today. There's three preseason games, but no, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, and, you know, the one thing we talked about this earlier, Jeff, and, you know, and a fan. Well, who's that fan, Charlie? I can't think of his name. Unique name. He brought it up. He called in and he said it's true. What we have invested in offensive line. offensive line can't just be good or very. What was that, Rhett? Yeah, Rhett was right on. Offensive line has to be great. You know, we look at the Eagles' offensive line.
First-round picks.
Yes, and look at McCoy. Even where you're, that's like.
Well, we know he's steady Eddie.
Early second, I think.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like that's what we've invested in. So you want to be doing things right, and you kind of mirror or just look in the mirror kind of how the Eagles are structured. Okay, they're winning on the offensive defensive line with their offensive line. They had the two top tackles in the top five and all how they graded. So that's what the Saints are trying to do. So, hell yeah, we got to come together as an offensive line, I think, to have a chance when you start winning maybe games that I don't know about that. We're not favorite, but you're winning six or seven games. Offensive line has to be great. That'll help out your quarterback, the whole run game, all that. You look at the skill people, but offensive line, there's no excuse if they're not eventually great once they come together. Now, because of the collective bargain agreement and the way it's structured, they just finally got to practice today like it's real football, where in the past you'd have more chance to develop as a unit. But there's no excuse. That's the way the rules are today. So you got to come together. And, Jeff, I'm going to be really mad or upset if our offensive line doesn't come together, because that, to me, should be the strength of our team. Not only the offense, but the whole team, simply because that's what we've invested in the draft.
Yeah, I agree with you. And like, I think, you know, there's a lot of negativity around the Saints and how things are going to go poorly. They have no quarterback, you know, whatever. For this team to punch above its weight and win more games than you expect, it's going to be if they have a top five offensive line and a rushing attack that can protect a quarterback, not unlike what happened with the Cowboys in 2016 with Dak Prescott. They started, he was a fourth round pick, a rookie, started week one, but right. They were able to supplement him while he was learning in real time with Ezekiel Elliott and the best offensive line in football. Right now, I don't think the Saints are going to be the best offensive line in football, but you have four first-round picks and a high second-round pick. You have a first-round pick that you're moving into guard in Trevor Penning, and I don't know about you, but like I appreciate what I'm seeing out of Trevor in that role because I just think it suits everything he wants to do a lot better. Now, obviously, the body type isn't exactly what you'd look for at guard, but he would get into trouble when he would just get kind of lost in space. He would have to wait, right. Be patient, and then just get out of position, get beat inside, get beat outside. At guard, you're kind of just playing in a phone booth. Like most reps, he's just going to be able to, you know, okay, see guy, get guy. Like that guy's in front of him, go hit that guy, and he's not going to miss because there's nowhere to miss.
You got the center to help you. Situation. Right. You're caught in the center and the tackle, and you could tend to be a mauler. And then plus, you know, I think, okay, we drafted him to be a tackle, and he ended up going from tackle to guard to tackle from Stanford. He's a giant of a man, Andres Pete. And even the Raiders had signed him at tackle. He didn't even like football, but he was so big he had to play football. And he had to somewhat like it. But Andres Pete, you know, this could be from a psychological standpoint, mental standpoint, and Trevor Penning doesn't have to do this. You don't have to block. Now I'm thinking I got a brain fart from the Rams.
Aaron Donald.
What? Now that can mess with your head, like because he's so dominant that okay, Trevor Penning though he would Aaron Donald would embarrass him, but you're not going against those kind of cats. Maybe the Eagles and all you're playing, but that's why I think it's going to bode well for him.
No Eagles this year.
It's going to bode well for him on the inside, Jeff, like you said.
I'll tell you one other thing. Like, one thing I appreciate about Trevor in this situation is that he's all for it. Like, this is not a situation where the coaches are like, hey, we're going to move you to guard, and he's like, okay, fine, I'll do it. You're paying me. Like, I talked to him earlier in the offseason, and he was excited about it. Like, they called him up and asked him, hey, we're thinking about moving you to guard. And he was like, yeah, great idea. I think my skill set works great at guard. And I think that, like, being open to it and being excited about it is important here. He's going into a contract year. Like, this is possibly what gets him another contract at the NFL level, because I don't think anyone was going to sign him to anything – anything extensive at the tackle position. If he goes out and excels at guard, you know, I think Mekhi Becton signed with the Chargers for 2 years, $20 million, something in that range.
Hello?
Like, you're putting yourself in a position to extend your NFL career, and maybe that's here. And if it is, and you suddenly have a young, established offensive line, all five spots locked down, that's fantastic. So, no, I think I'm cautiously optimistic, and a lot of it's going to come down to health. Hopefully, Ted Rath and company, their plans, they're very scientific about it. They're counting steps and stuff. Like, there's a lot going on. Hopefully, they can figure out how to stay healthy, and you can get a full season out of that group, because I think they can be good.
You know, Jeff, that's a great point with Becton. They hate him in New York. He was a bust with the Jets. I go, get him out of town. All of a sudden, his confidence might be a little shattered. He goes to the Eagles. He's a Super Bowl champ at guard. Now, like you said,
cha-ching.
He parlays that into a $20 million to two-year deal. And so that's a win-win. How can you last? Trevor's going into his fourth season. Okay, ultimately, I can tell you how NFL players think. Now, you might say, I'll take it year by year. But you know what all NFL player wants to do? Because it just sounds better if you play double digits. If you make 10 years versus 7 or 8. You know, like if you're Jim Brown, I don't know, I'm going to be a movie star. I'm going to play 7 years. I'm still a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Gale Sayers, you know, going old school. When you got players that could play like 7 years and they're Pro Football Hall of Famers, man, that's like dominant. But I'm just saying as a player, you get well compensated. That's like Cordell Patterson. I didn't realize this. He gets cut by the Steelers. And I go, man, that guy can return. He was a Saints killer. I remember him just running the ball like this big running back, like number 84, like a receiver number. And he's back there. But all of a sudden, I'm looking, like, he's played 13 years. That's a great career. Look at Honey Badger, just retired. Well, what he had, 12 years? Well, whatever, off the top of my head.
It was 12.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm telling you how players think. And they go like I played till I was 37. I felt like, okay. Now, in hindsight, I thought I should have milked it and went with George Seifert, the Carolina Panthers, that Steve Berline then, but my elbow was shot. I could have stole maybe $1 million, and then I didn't want to do it. My ego got in the way. This day and age, my ego would not have gotten in the way. I would have taken that money. I'm going to tell you with Derek Carr.
I'll give you an example. Yeah. Wait, I can give you a good example, though. So, like, think of Ryan Ramczyk. Think of his career. Like, he had a great career, but, you know, you look back on it, and it was just so short. Like, it was, what, 6 years? And suddenly it's like, what would that
right.
And he's
feel
gone,
like?
Right.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he's gone, and it's like, man, that's a short career. Like, he was a 2017 draft pick. He was great, but it was so
short.
Doesn't feel like you got it all because it was only 6-7 years.
Well, and I was going to bring up as far as, like, contracts, and on hindsight, like Derek Carr. I could tell you, what did Derek Carr give up, like $30 million? Or whatever. I can't recall, but I know in off season I was thinking about this.
And, for retiring?
Yeah, for retiring.
Yeah.
Okay, because he, in theory, could have taken that $30 million.
Gone on the physically unable to perform.
Okay, yes, I'm trying. My shoulder's too shot. I'm going to get surgery. I want that $30 million. Oh, Derek Carr's greedy. You know how he wants to be a preacher and all that? And how about feed the children, or so the world? Okay, don't take that $30 million and give it to Gaza and all that. You want to get, like, starving kids? Or you want to do something good for the world?
He's got to buy Rolls Royces, though.
No, you could do that, too, but he already got that, the electric Rolls Royce, whatever. But I'm saying that extra $30 million, you know, kind of take it from the rich, give it to the poor. The Saints got a lot of money. I mean, he's going to stay in California. He's not even going to come here. But you take that $30 million to Saints because of the contract would have owed you. You could all of a sudden be an ambassador. You could be like a poor man Bill Gates. Oh, I'm giving it to this charity. I'm giving it to that charity. And nobody, how can anybody talk bad about that if you're not keeping it? You understand what I'm saying?
Saints fans would find a way.
How can you be against it?
Because it's Derek Carr.
You get, like, feed the children, whatever. You know, Doctors Without Borders, whatever. You promoting... And you're giving to good cause. So I don't know. That's in hindsight, old wisdom. What I would have did is said, okay, I'm not just out and out retiring. This is what my contract says. And I've dealt with contracts is that I'm going to try and play. And then if I can't play, I have to have shoulder surgery. I want that $30 million.
Jeff, folks can check
out. I'm going to give it to the poor.
Folks can check out your practice report at WWL.com. You got anything else in the works we can be looking out for?
Yeah, I just posted a story on Julian Blackman. You know, he gave us the context to Brandon Staley yelling. I've been waiting 5 years for that after his interception the other day. So, you know, some interesting background there. Like, they go way back to 2020 with the Rams. Staley wanted to draft him. The Colts stole him. So it's a cool reunion that they got going on. You can check that out.
WWL.com, your spot for everything Saints football. Jeff, thanks so much for the time, man. Be talking to you soon.
Sure, y'all. Have a good one.
All right, Jeff.
It's our Saints sideline reporter and WWL's digital content producer, Jeff Nowak. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk, and we'll return with more of our training camp coverage right after this on WWL. Back here on our training camp edition of Sports Talk and the first padded practice of Saints camp today. We're going to check in on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. James, you've been on the line hanging on. James, what you got for us today with the Cajun Cannon in the house?
Yeah, so listen, I'm going to try to put this another way. I was kind of in my feelings the other day when I heard the Honey Badger retired. And I can't blame him, but I think he deserves a seat at this table with you guys, period. He is from here, by the way. Okay.
And the thing is he, would he take cheap pay, or, I mean, does he want big bucks? I mean, that's the thing. Because
the thing about it is he's already being offered DC positions, like not head coordinator, but defensive coach or whatever positions. I heard him say this the other day, but until then, he's available. But
I got you.
And I heard you guys mention something about Landy Young, who I think is garbage. No offense. Clap, he's just a guy, just deserves to be on the team.
Now you're talking about backups, James. Come on.
Wait a minute. You know why we're in this position talking about average guys? Because Mickey Loomis, 69 again, is making Mickey Mouse decisions. Why would you give Tyler Shope, whatever his name is, a 26-year-old quarterback, you said it yourself. You didn't say it, but you kind of alluded to it. We're going to be back in the same position with a higher pick most likely next year and a quarterback draft. So why give this kid, if I was his family, one of his family members, I'd be kissing all 10 toes of Mickey Loomis because you just gave him life-changing money. He's a 26-year-old quarterback, and you basically call him.
Well, they guaranteed him a $10 or $11 million. That don't mean
that's
nothing. He could still be a backup for $10 or $11 million.
We're known as a franchise that gives guys lifelong contracts. Basically, we overvalue him. Next year, we're going to
be. Well, you got to be patient, Jay. Yeah, you got to be patient. You can't say overvalue. You got to give
him
a chance.
We'll be right back in the draft.
It might be.
That might be. We will be.
Okay, we got to wait and see.
Manning. Whoever, I prefer the Tennessee guy. He fits better.
The Tennessee guy at UCLA now? Who are you talking about?
Yeah. He's more of the hallelujah, the Hawaiian tall kid. He's more of a guy.
He's like a diva to me. I don't know.
But he still fits more of the running offense that this new coach is trying to project. And I don't think
so. More like Jalen Hurts type, you might be saying.
Yeah, I don't think Manny's coming out for what? He's already making money more than anybody right now. Why? And that's not what they do. So he's not coming out. Let's just say he's not coming out. But the bottom line is, this is why we can't afford to get a decent offensive line because you got a.
What you mean? We got a defense offensive line. We invested all these first round picks. You think backups, all our first the backups? Okay.
The backups, they're just the guys. And as far as the offensive line, I had to.
But a lot of teams, are just the backups are just the backups, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
If you look at like 6, 7, 8, but I'm saying 6, 7, 8 deep on every team is not nothing to write home about. The 6, 7, 8 deep is not that much better than Will Clapp or you looking at Landon Young and all that. I'm telling you. If you look at all the 32 teams, you could have, like, the Falcons have a legitimate offensive line and they're all healthy, amongst the best. You look at Tampa Bay. But you look at their depth. It's a big drop-off when you plug in and play in the backup. That's why it has to be short-term.
Can't have all-stars behind your starters.
Yeah. You can't have guys you're counting on significantly to be out for, like, a couple of months. Now, a game or two, yes. Then you plug and play Landon Young, Will Clapp, Dylan Randus, or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? But all teams are like that, James. You can't say like, oh, we have like seven starters on our offensive line in that offensive line meeting room. No, that just don't happen in the NFL.
Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, here you go. Go ahead, James.
We got no money. You're missing the point. We got no money. And the reason why we got no money, because we got Mickey Mouse decisions by a general manager giving guys lifelong contracts where they should have been retired like years ago.
You talk about like with Ramchick? We took care of Ramchick, but it's not Mickey Loomis's fault he got hurt.
I love Cam. Listen, okay. I'm not just – listen, I don't cut no calls when it comes to Saints. Cam Jordan or anybody, really. Cam Jordan, same thing. Okay. A lot of guys. DeMario, what is he, 36? Come on.
But wait, okay, when you look at DeMario.
DeMario's still playing at an elite level.
Yes, DeMario, I could say Cam. Cam's going to be part of the rotation. I don't think Cam's starting.
Right.
Cam will be more in that rotation. But you look at DeMario Davis. I think he was just all pro, James. not Pro Bowl, he was all pro. So you might, you got to slow your roll on that. Now, you might, it's better to get rid of a player a year too soon than a year too late. Deuce McAllister would tell you that's how organizations think. But the one thing, you know, the Saints, for the longest time, they've been a cheap organization like the Bengals. Hell no. Mr. Benson and Ms. Gale and all, and Mickey and all, since Mickey's been in charge of the 21st century, they've taken care of the players. Now it's up to the players to take care of the Who Dat Nation and to win. Now, do we need the second coming of Drew Brees? Probably. Possibly. But when is that going to happen? James, you and I will all be dead before that happens again, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Look, the Dolphins are still looking for the next Dan Marino. The Broncos, maybe Bo Nix, but with John Elway. That didn't happen. They had to go get Peyton Manning, old veteran. It's a lot easier said than done to get that trigger man.
Easier said than done is getting to a break. We'll be right back with more sports talk right after this. That's a wrap on this hour of Sports Talk. When we get back after the top of the hour news break, we'll get into more of the Cajun Cannons Notebook. Plus, hear from Saints cornerback Alante Taylor, as well as defensive end Carl Granderson. Right here, keep it locked on WWL Saints Radio. Be back after the break. Who dat?